welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors. Whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales, we hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more.
Hi, and welcome back again. We are joined today once again by our expert, Christoph Hutter. Hi, Christoph. Welcome on board once again.
Hi, Trevor. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for having me again.
So we're following on from our previous two discussions that we had. So in the past, we've spoken about the PMS and the role of the PMS. We also, in our last episode, spoke about the considerations, what you should be thinking about when embarking on a new PMS selection. What we're looking at covering today is starting to get into the features. We've got a number of areas we're going to tackle, looking at whether it's cloud or on-site hosting, mobile first, which is obviously a big topic from a website point of view, but how that applies to the PMS, connectivity, which is obviously a massive key element to discuss, and then the support that sits around this, which needs to be considered. And let's start off. Let me throw the first question over to you, which is, okay, do we go to the cloud or do we have it on site? Do we still do on-site hosting anymore? Is now everything in the cloud? Because everywhere I look, it's all cloud-based.
Well, of course, from a software vendor point of view, cloud just makes much more sense. It is much easier to maintain simply one version of the product and have every client sit on that one version, as opposed to everyone having their own version sitting on site. It means there is a far greater support effort on the vendor side. It is much more complicated to maintain all the different versions and the compatibilities with all the other systems. We can talk about that also a little bit more in detail in the connectivity parts. But from a vendor point of view, the cloud is just the better way to go. And it is also more profitable. And it's not just more profitable because there are ongoing fees and recurring monthly or annual fees for a cloud solution. But it simply minimizes the development effort and the support effort and cuts a lot of cost on the vendor side. So that's why, speaking from a vendor point of view.
Yeah, that's why the vendors push the cloud.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Now, on the hotel side of things, which is, of course, what we are interested in, it's something that we need to think about. And there are a number of things we want to consider before taking a decision. So first of all, there are a lot of different PMS vendors out there, and some of them have cloud solutions. Some of them have on-site hosted solutions. Some of them offer kind of a hybrid where you're hosting your own cloud on-site. So there are these different options, and many vendors offer multiple solutions depending on the hotel needs. So that, of course, is the ideal scenario, because then you can really decide for a PMS and the way how it then is hosted, whether on site or not, is just one of the decisions you will take along the way.
Understood.
Where I think a lot of hotel thought processes will tend towards is, of course, the cost side of things.
Right.
As I mentioned, from a vendor point of view, it is far more profitable to charge you every month a nice fee than to charge you once and then you have the system in perpetuity. What they do, of course, is they charge you for the support and all that. So there is an ongoing cost anyways. But with a cloud solution, that ongoing cost is maybe a little bit higher while the initial cost is lower. And so that's also one consideration that we will want to take. If the initial cost is less high, it's maybe a little bit more affordable for many properties to go with the cloud solution. So from a pure cost point of view, you will need to get your quote and run the numbers, what makes more sense. The world we live in today, very possibly, this PMS is not going to remain at the property in perpetuity for all time. At some point, you're very likely going to switch again.
Well, I was going to say, it depends how long you're going to have this for, isn't it?
Exactly. So if you're calculating on a five-year basis, then, you know, run the numbers on 5 years and decide what does make more sense for your property.
That makes sense.
That's just, you know, purely looking at the cost.
Will that limit some of the choices? I mean, I know we're going to look at another episode at looking at PMS providers, so we'll maybe explore that in a bit more detail. But if you say to yourself, right, okay, I've crunched the numbers, I'll have it on site or maybe a hybrid and not have it in the cloud. Are there companies that are purely cloud based and don't offer the option of having it on site?
Yes, well, for sure. There are many vendors, and as I said, because it's the more profitable and easier way to go for the vendor, that's where many vendors are going to go towards to, because it just makes more sense from their point of view. So sooner or later, we will see that on-site hosting may just disappear. But we're not there yet,
right.
And it will still be available for the next foreseeable future for those hotels who choose to go with a solution that is sitting on a server at the property itself or at the corporate headquarters.
Yeah, I guess, as you said, it depends on what the size of the property is and what budgets you've got available to you.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, that makes sense. And so we touched a little bit then on whether it's based on property or not. I mean, from a hardware point of view, I would assume that that's different depending on what option you go for or not.
Definitely, because if you go with a purely cloud-based system, well, in the end of the day, you will need an internet browser that is compatible with that solution. And that's that. You will access it via the internet like you access many other systems that you probably are using already today, from rate shopping to CRS and many other systems, or even privately, you know, your email, your webmail, and things like that. So the hardware requirements for a cloud-based solution are most likely going to fit whatever you already have right now. So the potential investment is going to be very little, if any. Mm-hmm. While on the other hand, if you host the system yourself, then you will need to have a server. So the PMS will reside on a server. So you need to put a server on your property that is powerful enough to maintain the system for your hotel or your group of hotels. And that can be a very costly thing. Because servers obviously are far more performant than a desktop computer, which costs a few hundred dollars, pound, euro, compared to a servers which go in the thousands. But obviously that system needs to be very powerful so that your operations afterwards are not delayed by a lag time because your system is not responding quickly enough to whatever the people, whatever buttons they press, basically. So the hardware is definitely something that needs to be factored in the entire cost decision process.
I was going to say that it would be easy to, well, not easy, I'm sure people would consider it, but it seems obvious to say, what about the hardware? But that is a factor that must go on one of the lines when you're breaking out your financial analysis.
Absolutely. So yeah, you need to see what kind of server do you need, and do you need to replace any of the workstations that are on site? So that's something that your vendor will be able to assist with to determine what the hardware requirements are going to be. And then you will probably need to go back to your IT vendor and get a quote for all the hardware that you will need on site. Now, that's the purchasing part. But once you have it, somebody will have to look after all that. Because if you're hosting a server, then obviously that server will require maintenance over time.
Yeah, and I guess your backing up of the data and how that is handled. Now, I guess as a hotel, you've probably got IT systems, and if you're an independent property, you will have a process for that. If you're a group, maybe that's all done centrally anyhow. But again, they're factors that it may not be a direct cost, but there may be a time cost that also needs to be considered as part of that decision-making process.
Definitely, because IT maintenance is something that does require attention. You know, once the server is in place, everything is installed and running, IT systems are fragile, and you know, things can go wrong, and there can be some kind of a bug, or you know, you're bringing on board another system and there are certain incompatibilities, or you know, the whole thing simply crashes for whatever reason, computer crash, and somebody needs to then go in and fix it. And you know, the PMS vendors, they have the experience to oftentimes help remotely, so they can connect in from wherever they are. They don't have to come on site and be physically present at your location, but they can typically do that remotely. They dial in from outside, and whatever needs to be fixed, they can fix for you. So the downtime in this disaster kind of scenario would be quite limited. But something that I have seen at a number of hotels I've worked with, and that is really, really scary, is the whole backup process, which you mentioned. I saw hotels that actually did not have any backup process in place at all.
None at all.
And some of them didn't even know about it because they had their IT, which was supposed to take care of all that, but the IT didn't know the PMS part of things.
Oh, no.
I thought, well, the vendor is taking care of that. And at some point it was found out that, you know, there is no backup.
Jeez.
And fortunately, nothing happened. But, you know, if the thing crashes and you lose your data and there is no backup, well, it's all gone.
That's correct.
That means your entire history is gone, which is, of course, from a revenue management point of view, a disaster, not having any data, any historic data, because that's where revenue decisions are coming from the data we have available. Marketing is the same thing. So without the data, we have a huge problem in these two departments. But the even bigger issue is going to be that at the latest, the next day, somebody's to come at your front desk and want to check out, or somebody will want to come and check in. And if you don't have a system anymore, what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
And you know, most hotels are going to have emergency kind of reporting in place, where at the beginning and at the end of shifts, or, they print off, you know, the arrival list and things like that. So on the short term, for the day and maybe the next day, you will be able to handle that. But if you're losing every single one of your reservations, well, you hopefully have a paper backup somewhere, because that's a major, major disaster. And I've seen hotels where the PMS failed entirely, and some hotels they literally had to go back to the book.
Wow.
So they had an actual book, and that was not even too long ago. That was maybe 10 years ago or something. They had an actual book, and they wrote the names and all the reservations in the book until finally the PMS was back available, and they had to run like that for weeks.
Okay.
So that was a real, real disaster, and hopefully that doesn't happen anymore today, and companies and the technology has evolved enough. But that's certainly one of the considerations as well, that you need to take, is if you're hosting the thing on site, you are responsible for it to work.
Yeah.
And your vendor is going to have a support process in place, and there may be some disaster support as well. But if the thing breaks, well, until your vendor is able to get it back up, what do you do? And who is in charge of that? And if you don't have in-house maintenance, which IT maintenance, you know, which a lot of independent hotels don't have an on-site IT manager.
You wouldn't have that cost, would you?
Exactly. So you would work with an IT contractor, maybe. But is that person then readily available to help in case a disaster strikes? So there can be advantages to go with a cloud solution, because the entire maintenance process just disappears. Because all you do is you connect in your browser and you pull up the system, and that's that.
Well, I was going to say that although you started off saying it's profitable for the vendor to go with a cloud solution, but as we've looked at each of these areas so far, unless there is a strong financial reason not to, from my layman's perspective listening, I can see why the cloud not only seems convenient, but you know, just issues like the backing up piece, like not having to have the maintenance around the hardware, not having to think forward planning in terms of replacing the hardware, because we all know with our own laptops, you know, the more updates you get, the slower and slower it becomes because it's using more and more of the memory capacity. So all of those issues just add to the complexity where, to be honest with you, if I'm just running a hotel, I just want it to do a job. I don't want to have to be thinking like an IT professional just to have this box sitting in an office somewhere. And that's assuming then that it doesn't get stolen. And we're going to talk about an area of stealing in a minute, more about data, which is security. But again, there's that risk that if you've got it on site, it's a server, that stuff's expensive. You've got to find ways of making sure that it's protected. So, I mean, I'm not making a case for the cloud-based PFS vendors, but I can see there seems to be a number of significant advantages that might make life easier if you're a small group or an independent hotel, why there is this market for the cloud-based solution. Or am I looking at this a bit too simplistically?
Well, I actually absolutely agree that for many hotels, a cloud-based solution makes far more sense than hosting it on-site, just because operationally, it is far easier to go with a cloud solution, because the entire headache around the software maintenance, the IT maintenance, and that part disappears. The entire hardware maintenance, that disappears. And that can be a huge, huge cost-saving factor for the hotel, which needs to be considered.
And I think sometimes trying to quantify the impact of something going wrong, you know, you can look at it and say, okay, it's going to cost me $2,000 to buy a server. Fine. You know, you can maybe say, okay, I've got an IT contract that's going to cost me X per month. But if something goes wrong, it's really hard to quantify what that impact is going to be and what that would mean in terms of financial terms. You know, because you don't know what the impact could be. It could start affecting reputation. You know, you only need it to slow something up and you get some bad reviews. You could extrapolate it out in so many different ways that it's very hard to quantify that complete piece of the puzzle that if your PMS hosted on site was to go down.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's a very, very complex calculation that you will need to do. But it's absolutely essential that you're really aware of all these different factors. And when you do your due diligence, that you consider all that. And one thing that you mentioned, data. We work with data in revenue management. We work with data in marketing, and it's really, really, really important. One of the considerations, the things that we need to think about when going with a certain system is, in case one day we move away from that solution to whatever other solution, what happens with the data? Yeah. Because if it sits in a server on site, and you bought the server and you own the entire system, well, the data will remain on property and you will be able to access it. Mm-hmm. If you're with a cloud, that changes a little bit, because once the cloud is switched off, the data disappears. Yeah. So what is the process to salvage that data?
So sort of migrating from one solution to another.
Yes. Vendors, of course, they're aware of that, and there are solutions out there, and you know, that happens all the time, that there are migrations from one to another vendor. And so they have migration processes in place where the data is transferred from one to another system. But since no system really is identical, typically, there may be certain headaches that come with that process. and whether that is a cloud-based solution or on-site, that won't really change a thing, that the headache.
So the sort of mapping of that data from one solution to another some may be simpler than others.
Exactly. The important thing is simply that, you know, you're aware of, if you go with a cloud solution or you go with a on-site solution, what would you need to do to get the data out of the system should it decide to go with another solution at some point in the future.
Understood.
And that's a very, very important consideration.
So being able to access your data and do something with it is obviously a key factor to consider.
Yes.
Talking of accessing data, and thinking of people that shouldn't be accessing your data, and we know of a number of stories that have been in the papers over the last few months or longer of data breaches, there is a lot of personal data that is going to be held within the PMS. Security, I guess that just adds another layer of headache if you're hosting on-site.
Yeah,
and so we may want to touch on that first. But I'm also particularly keen to look at, okay, if it's cloud based, and we may not know the answer to this, but where does the responsibility and the legality of that sit? So maybe let's look at the on site bit first of all. I mean, obviously, if you have the hardware, if you have that solution, if you are hosting it on site, you have to find a way of locking up that data and establishing that it is as secure as it can possibly be, because this is a massive issue.
Yes. So my first recommendation would be, if you're considering hosting a system on site, get an independent security specialist to look at your current system architecture. So your network and current server setting and all your systems there, and get a independent quote on what you need to do in order to ensure that the system is as safe as it could possibly be, just like you said.
Yeah.
And I would really suggest to not go to your usual IT vendor and IT service provider and support provider, but go with an external specialist for that.
So someone who's just looking at the data security area, for instance, someone that really knows what their loopholes are and how people try and access and hack it.
Yeah, it really needs to be a security specialist and not just a system administrator, so to speak. Of course, administrators are very qualified in getting some of the basics. But what we are talking about is a lot of extremely, extremely private data. We have typically things like name and addresses. We have passport numbers. We have credit card details. So basically, we have everything that any hacker would love to have. So hotels are one of the most at-risk systems out there today. And they are extremely, extremely likely to be targeted, because many hotels who still have on-site solutions just have very, very old security in place, or very, very old systems in place, potentially with outdated operating systems that don't even have patches, security patches anymore, potentially outdated firewall systems which don't keep anything out anymore. These things evolve at an incredible pace. And so if you're hosting anything on-site, you need to make sure that your data is secure, because if anybody gets through, that is a headache nobody wants to have. And I think that a lot of even the larger companies in our industry can speak to that headache. The amount of potential fines that you would face in case of a data breach, not even talking about the loss in revenue because of loss in reputation and people canceling all their bookings in the future because they don't want to stay at the hotel that got hacked. But there is a legal responsibility, and a company that fails to secure the data puts itself at a risk for massive fines that goes in the millions, and you know that nobody wants to have that kind of headache.
And again, it comes back to these it comes back to the cost calculation as well, because you know, there is going to be an increase in your liability. So any insurance that you have as a business, more and more companies are focusing on the data that you're holding, how you are securing that data. So if you are about to bring a system into your hotel where you will be holding the data and you are responsible for that data, then potentially the cost in your insurance premium could go up. Exactly. And again, that needs to be a factor that's brought into play. I mean, we all see these data breaches and we all look from outside and we all say, oh, goodness me, that would be terrible if it happens to us. But how often after reading it do we then go back and revisit our own policies and our own procedures and our own systems? We don't. We just read it and think, oh, goodness, thank goodness that wasn't me. And then we just move on with our day. And every day that goes by, as you say, as things become slightly out of date or they don't get updated, or we don't properly install the patches that need to be, we're becoming more and more exposed as every day goes by. Our risk is increasing, our liability is increasing, and all of these things have a knock-on effect on the cost. So it's a massive consideration.
Exactly. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why I would recommend today to consider a cloud solution over an on-site solution in most scenarios.
Does that shift the liability then?
Yeah, so it's something that you will need to carefully read in your contract. But if you're not hosting the system on-site, in terms of security, well, there's not much that you can do. There will be certain procedures in place as to restricting access and things like that. To the systems where you can access the PMS, and you need to restrict your users and that kind of thing, but that you have to do anyways, whether it's on-site or not. But as long as you're acting responsibly, typically you will be having a far easier time than if you're hosting the whole system yourself.
I mean, we need to stress, we're not legal experts. this is just our understanding and advice. Passing the responsibility back onto whoever listens to this podcast and then goes and makes their own decisions. We have no liability for the choices that they make. Check your terms and conditions very carefully. But it seems sensible to hypothesize that if you're not storing it locally and you're using a vendor that's storing the data in the cloud, that it's just worth checking, but it's likely that the liability sits with the vendor rather than you because you're not hosting.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really important. We're going to talk about contracts a little later, but it's really important that you carefully read that part and understand what you're going to sign. And you know, we all know what happened a few months ago when what happened a couple of weeks ago. You know, data breaches happen, unfortunately, very, very frequently. That's not going to stop. On the contrary, it's very much increasing. And it's not just hotels. It's credit card companies. There was a big case in North America a few weeks ago, you know. 100 million people's data got accessed. Things like that happen. The question is just who is to blame and where is the liability? There is no 100% security. It's just, you know, is it your headache or is it somebody else's?
You look at ways that you can reduce that to increase the level of security, of course, but as you're right, I mean, ultimately, it comes down to pounds, dollars, or euros, and who is going to have to pay out, because you're going to have to deal with the reputation issue as a hotel.
Yes,
but who's actually going to have to pay out the fines for that data breach? And that's a key consideration to have in mind.
Absolutely, yeah.
No, that makes sense. So I think really looking at that. We've covered a lot around cloud on site, I think I've drawn a conclusion. You've been quite clear that your recommendation probably in most cases would be leaning towards a cloud, but each situation is different. But there seems to be a lot of benefits, and you see why there has been such a major growth in the cloud-based PMS solutions over what seems to be so quickly, almost in the last 18 months, 2 years. It's just like just exploded and grown out of nowhere. So moving the topic on, unless there's anything else on that area we haven't touched on, I think we've covered that quite significantly. So one of the phrases that we hear a lot in terms of websites is mobile first. And I know when we were putting together the framework for this podcast series, you spoke about how this is an important consideration also for the PMS, which kind of caught me by surprise a little bit. But then that's no surprise because of my lack of knowledge, not really working with PMS systems. So, you know, for everyone else who's maybe sitting out there and thinking, okay, mobile first for a PMS, just talk to us around that area for a minute. And what does that actually mean?
So mobile first means, and we're all familiar with how websites today are typically designed using responsive design, mm-hmm. Which means that the website is going to adapt natively to the screen size of the device. So if you're looking at it from your desktop or laptop PC, it's going to look really nice. And if you look at it at the tablet, it's still going to look nice because the elements on the website are going to adapt to the smaller screen size.
Okay, so whether it's desktop, tablet, phone.
Exactly. Yeah. So you look at it on your phone, and you know, certain elements are going to shrink in size, and typically instead of a header menu, you see the little hamburger button with the three lines.
Yeah, just the layout slightly different.
So that the whole experience natively works with the device you're accessing the website with. I think that the industry now, really the vast majority of sites that I see are using responsive design. So that has come a long way from only a few years ago, fortunately.
In terms of their website, you're meaning here.
Yes. Now, yeah. Where I still see many hotels maybe struggling a little bit is understanding that responsive design and mobile first are not the same thing. So responsive design simply means that the website is going to shrink to the size of the device that it is used with. Mobile first means it is actually developed for a mobile device, which means it will absolutely look perfect on the mobile device. So if you look at the website with your phone, it will be the best possible experience that the user can have. And if they look at it with the desktop or their laptop, it will still look great, but it's not what the system is developed for. So the first thing that developer looks at is to make the user experience and the user interface work as best as possible on the mobile.
I've got you. So you're starting from the other end of the process. So rather than building it on a desktop and it adjusting to a mobile, all of your design features, when the developer builds it, you're looking at it through a mobile first perspective, hence the terminology. That then adjusts if you go to a tablet or a desktop. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, when let's just sidetrack for a second. When we have a new website and our web design company comes and shows us their design, we'll probably look at it on a desktop, or even on a giant screen. Maybe that's absolutely not how our users, our guests, our bookers are going to look at it. They're going to bring out their smartphone and look at it on that device.
Yes.
So when we bring on a new website, we need to make sure that the first thing we do is we look at it on the mobile. And once we went through that, then we look at it on the other device as well, and on the tablet and on the desktop and laptop, so that we better understand it all. And that is exactly the same thing for a PMS.
Understood.
So we were just discussing, you know, on-site versus cloud. many of the legacy and systems that are hosted on site, they only can be accessed through a desktop or a laptop. Many of the cloud-based systems, they can be accessed from any device. As long as the device has internet connection, you can just pull up the address of the PMS where it sits and access it from your phone or your tablet or your computer.
So when we were talking before about the role of the PMS, if I take that as a simple example then, and we were saying one of the basic things is the checking in and checking out. So let's say we haven't gone to robots running around our lobby. Let's say we haven't gone to machines where we have to go and swipe, or we're not yet checking in on our mobile phone, but we've made a step. We want to be a little bit more trendy. We're going to get rid of the barrier of the desk. And now we're going to have people standing in the lobby walking around, but we're going to have them using tablets maybe to, you know, check, meet with the guests, interact, check in, check out that particular way. So if you're working with if I understand correctly what you said, if you're working with a legacy system and you're hosting it somewhere, if you're within a group or you're hosting it on site, because they have been developed, you basically are forced to either sit somewhere that has a desktop, or you're carrying a laptop around, or you're mobile. You can't be accessing it through a tablet.
Yeah, so there are some kind of hybrid solutions or workarounds in some cases, but they're not native to the tablet. So
hacks to make it work rather than being developed to be mobile. Yeah, tablets, for instance.
Yeah, and so there is some kind of friction, and that really doesn't need to be in this day and age where we have the possibility to just go with a solution that can do that natively, that is intended to be used in that way, where, you know, you don't need a mouse because the system is made for a touch screen so that you can check in the person on the tablet or even on your phone, and it goes frictionless and seamless and fast, because no guest wants to spend, you know, a long amount of time with the whole check-in process. So it's really a huge consideration, but it goes beyond just the check-in or check-out process. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, in many hotels, housekeeping, when the person has cleaned the room, they either call the head housekeeper or they call the front desk to let them know that the room is cleaned. Or they have a telephone-based system where they type in a certain code in the system, and then the system, the PMS, registers that. Mm-hmm. If you are in a PMS environment that is developed for the mobile, then your housekeeper can just access it on their smartphone. And everybody has a smartphone today. So you can just pull up the PMS app on your phone and say, okay, this room is now clean.
Well, I guess you've probably even been allocated the rooms earlier in the day. You know what rooms you're cleaning probably through your app.
Exactly. So the time where the housekeeper in the morning prepared paper lists and decided who is going to clean which kind of room, and then the housekeeping person walks through the building from floor to floor, trying to find the people that have already checked out, or calling the front and say, okay, mm-hmm. has room 105 already checked out? No, still not. Okay. And you know, in a solution where they can have this information readily on their phone or on a tablet, they can see, well, that person, that 105, they're checked out, so now I can go and clean there. So it reduces a lot of friction in that process, and saves a lot of time. Same for maintenance, for example. You know, there is a maintenance issue that the housekeeping person sees. They can take a picture on their phone, and via the app, the maintenance team will be notified and see that there is some issue, something is broken or needs to be fixed. And so the whole processes that we have in the hotel operations, they can be heavily impacted by whether you have the kind of legacy system or an up-to-date state-of-the-art system that can be accessed from any device.
And again, coming back to the starting point on this about it being mobile first, I mean, if you have a legacy system and maybe they've got a hack to make it work on a tablet or a mobile, that's fine in terms of allowing for accessibility. But depending on how that's been designed or is allowed to be designed because of the old system, it may not make it mobile first in that sense. It won't have been designed to necessarily work. It's hacked to be accessible, but not designed for the user interface and user experience necessarily to be the best it can be. Whereas if a PMS system has been developed in the cloud and has been developed with a mobile first thought process, then they've already bought into the fact that the accessibility is going to be key, and the utilization of different parts of the hotel is going to be critical to it really being effective, efficient, and seamless. And therefore, you know, it's working out that if you access it from a desktop or laptop, it's still going to look great and fine. But more importantly, if it is your housekeeping, if it is maintenance, you could be logging in if you're coming into work, if I'm a housekeeper, and seeing my schedule for the day. And that just leads to the whole effectiveness being significantly enhanced. Have I understood that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, the question is always, how high is our comfort level to work with kind of solutions that are not really intended for that purpose? Now, I remember meetings that I attended where I needed real-time access to the PMS, and I didn't have my laptop with me, so I brought out my phone, and I had an app which allowed me to remotely access my PC, so I could see my PC screen on the app. But then absolutely not what it is intended to do. So I was able to pull the information that I needed.
Yeah.
But it was really, really not fun to scroll kind of with my finger through the desktop experience and try to type in the things and all that. It's just, you know, it's not necessary to have these hassles when you have a system in place that is intended to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, it makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've spoken a little bit there about different areas of the hotel that are utilizing and interfacing with the PMS. And we spoke about that in the earlier episode one, sort of what is the role of the PMS and how could it really be utilized more fully across the hotel. So hopefully those two things are tying in. One of the things that I think we can sort of move on to is, it kind of leads me in a loose way to connectivity, because as we spoke about before, this really sits at the central heart, and everything then sort of interlinks into the PMS, and then out of the PMS feeds other systems. And there's been a massive shift around connectivity, around the utilization of APIs, which we see in many different formats now outside of PMS, just in our everyday to day working life. So talk to me a bit about connectivity.
So as you pointed out, the development in APIs and connectivity and all that has been mind blowing. It's especially in 2019, so much has changed. Now, API, what does that mean? API stands for Application Programming Interface. It basically allows two different computer systems to talk to each other that are not really intended to talk to each other, two different vendors. So think about your PMS and your CRS, your central reservation system. These two can interface using that API. So they can talk to each other. So your CRS knows how many rooms you have left for what day and what rates are available and all these kind of things. The current industry trend is to somewhat move away from what we have seen until very recently, where the PMS vendor controlled their APIs very, very much, and especially some of the big players are really known for that. That if you want to get an interface with another system, well, it's a $1,000 cost or more, and you have to go on a wait list until somebody can finally switch that on for you, which oftentimes is really not that complicated. Other times, I admit, it can be a little bit more complex. But in the past, many of the vendors, they charged a lot of money, and it was a bigger effort to build all the APIs so that the systems can interact and connect. Now, what we see at the moment is a trend away from this closed approach towards an open API approach, which means that the vendor communicates to other vendors who are interested in developing connectivity and links to their software. They publish all the specifications, so the other IT company can develop their system and their interface so that the two systems can easily communicate with each other. And there's even a hotel standard out for that. So there's a really, really fantastic evolution happening right now, which makes systems much more compatible to other systems at a fraction of the cost and at a far greater speed than what we were used to in the past. One of the things that we always have to ask when we go with a certain IT software, a channel manager, for example, well, does that even connect to my PMS? Is that even an option that I go with that? And time again, I have come across really great and interesting software solutions, but they were not compatible with the PMS that the hotel had. And because a PMS migration is a big deal, that is not something that can easily be changed. And we're not going to change the PMS because we want to have a different channel manager.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, in that case, we either wait until the channel manager develops that interface or we find another solution. Mm-hmm. And with the open API, this will just become a far, far easier process where more and more systems are accessible and can communicate to each other. So that's a really, really fantastic evolution in the industry right now. So we need to make sure that whatever system we choose follow such a strategy, because not every vendor is on board with the open API. There are still a lot of vendors out there that want to control that, and some are a little bit more restrictive than others, but that's definitely one of the conversations that we want to have is, well, how easy is it to integrate others?
Yeah.
Do you follow open API? How is your view on things? So please go ahead and ask your vendor in the conversation how they see this open API.
So in a very basic way, some of those other companies, it's like you're paying them to translate. You kind of got data in one language, data in another language, and you have to pay them to do the translation so that the two things will connect. Whereas they're, you know, with the open API, it's like a standard language that everybody is using, and it's just a much more seamless interface. And I guess that's why. So you know, if we all follow the news within the trade, which I guess we do, it's why we often see announcements from these heavily cloud-based orientated PMS providers talking about how they've just signed up a deal with X, Y, and Z POS or CRS or channel manager or RMS, and now they have the interface, and so they can now plug in and work with that system, and that becomes a seamless integration. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. And some of the more modern, let's say, vendors out there, mm-hmm. they have taken that to a completely new level for our industry. Something that, in all honesty, we're all used to every day anyways. and it's a marketplace model. So okay. While in
the Apple Store or Google, exactly. Google yeah. Play or whatever, yeah,
exactly. So when the iPhone came out, it was almost a revolution that instead of having complicated software installations, all you do is you go in your App Store, you press whatever button you like, and then you have the software on your phone. And of course, it's the same for Android. And those who remember BlackBerry, it was the same for that one too, although there were not many apps in that system. But yeah, so we have all become accustomed to this marketplace model from our phones. And just to be clear, it was not Apple who invented that. That dates already far, far more back.
But they were the ones that brought it to the common awareness, really, wasn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And now we have PMS vendors who apply the same principle, where instead of having to go and find your vendor of whatever solution you need, maybe you want a different housekeeping solution, maybe you want the CRM, maybe you want an automation or an analysis solution. And in the past, what you needed to do is go ahead and connect via any interface. So you need to sign up a contract with that other vendor, and then you sign an interface contract with your PMS vendor, and then you need to find a date for the installation and all these kind of things. That is a thing of the past with vendors that support the marketplace, because it's like the App Store. You go on a website, you say, oh, I like this app, let's click it, and then you have it. And
So if I'm sitting there and I change to a PMS system, I could go to that supplier's website or however they've set it up, which I guess would be a website. They'll have a marketplace. I'm thinking, well, this was pretty easy. You know, I listened to the guys on Revenue Hub. I listened to Christoph and his advice around choosing a PMS, and it was a walk in the park for me to make the right choice. So I value his advice to help me make that decision. And now what I want to do is I'm now going to go out there and I want to get an RMS system. So I can go into a marketplace within that vendor, and if they've got agreements with revenue management solution providers, I can almost click on a button or whatever, however they've built their interface, and I can be signing up to a new revenue management solution, get introduced to a number of different providers, and just connect into it as simply as I would do an app on my phone?
Exactly. It's wow. That simple. Now, the technology is still in the rather early stages, so there are still some hiccups.
But as a principle, that's an exciting evolution.
Yeah. You know, today, if I want to find an RMS, for example, I have to figure out, well, what vendors are out there. Then I need to go and talk to every single one of the ones that I find, look at their systems, see which one I like best, negotiate a contract, sign them up, and install the thing. But in that process, I will come across a lot of vendors which will have great solutions that are not compatible with my PMS. So I will spend a lot of time on something that has absolutely no point today. While with a marketplace, I have whatever is compatible to my system right there. So I have a list of every vendor that is a possibility in my ecosphere, and I can simply speed up the research process and then the whole sign up process as well. I will still have to go and talk to them to negotiate my contract like that, because, you know, contracts are negotiable in our world. So that is a little different than from the App Store.
But if the PMS is the central bit, that's, you get that right, as you say, you want everything else to connect with it.
Exactly.
So if your vendor has already identified 3 or 4 suppliers, whether it be an RMS, whether it be a CRS, whether it be a channel manager, then, as you say, you still will need to go and do your due diligence, because that's just what you do professionally.
Exactly. Yes.
But knowing that those vendors already will interface seamlessly with your PMS takes away one of the major questions that you should be asking.
Yeah, it's
and I guess the PMS vendors are constantly out there trying to do these deals with as many providers as they possibly can, because they don't want to limit choice as well, do they? I mean, because if someone's already using a channel manager and they want to shift to their PMS, and at the moment they don't have that interface, they don't want to lose that business. So they want to get as many channel managers that can interface, or as many RMS systems that can interface as they possibly can.
Yeah. So we do have a little bit different philosophies out there on the vendor side. There are those vendors which go the marketplace way. They're really specializing in the real true PMS portion of the technology. So they will offer a solid PMS, but not try to come up with one software that can do everything. And they realize
that bolt-on different bits.
Exactly. They realize they can't do everything, so they bring third-party vendors on board with the open API, with or without the marketplace solution. But they allow the third-party vendor to develop their thing, which they do best, and then integrate it easily so that the hotel can then make use of it. While there are other PMS vendors out there, especially the bigger ones, that try to offer kind of one-stop solutions, where they have the PMS and they have the channel manager as well, and they have a CRS as well, and they can even sign you up for GDS, and you know they offer the one-stop solution, which might also be interesting for your specific hotel, so that you don't have 15 different vendors to talk to, but just one solution. And there are certainly advantages to that if you have, say, your PMS and your sales and catering system coming from the same vendor. It means the two systems, they're really integrated to each other, that they talk the same language, they have the same functionality, and a lot of things will be just far easier than if you have a software coming from a third party. While for other hotels, the third party makes much more sense, because that's now a vendor that is specialized in that specific area, and they build, let's stay with the sales and catering example, they built that sales and catering solution better than anyone else, and it has the most beautiful and amazing features, and is just wonderful. So it would be great if we can integrate that system easily into our PMS and work with the software of our choosing.
So it gives you the chance to look at each individual element of your property's operation, and looking at different solutions where people have different expertise and they're developing these technological products for each of those different operational. And so you can either bolt it all together and have the PMS as the central foundation, so to speak, and then you're designing what house, how many rooms you want, what style you want it to be, and you build on top of that foundation, or you're going to someone who will build the whole thing for you. But there may be some limitations on how much individuality you can bring to it, because they only have the capacity to build it in a particular way.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And again, as we said through all of this, it's going to depend on each individual situation, each individual circumstance, what you want your PMS to achieve, how complex your property might be, will be the degree as to which might be a better option to go down. And there might be different cost implications based on, even if they're all cloud-based, again, one that is heavily utilizing open API to integrate with different third parties, there may be a different costing model when you're working with other interfacing technologies than it may be if you're just dealing with one provider who's providing you a one-stop solution. So again, you bring some cost differentials in there as well.
Yes. And one thing that I think is very important in that entire decision process of interfaces, connectivity and all, is you currently most likely already have interfaces. You have a restaurant on site with a POS or a minibar, or you have a Wi-Fi that is connected in some way to the PMS, so that the guest can log in with the room number and things like that. If you switch your PMS, please make sure that your existing systems are compatible to the new system, Because that's also something that I've seen when all of a sudden we find out we negotiate a great deal, and then we find out at the last minute, after having spent months and months and months, that the Wi-Fi system won't work with the PMS. There's just no interface for that. So then you can decide, okay, do I switch my Wi-Fi system, which costs me $100,000? Or do I just not have an interface? And well, how do the guests then log in? Do they have to call the front desk? Can I create the code manually? Or that there are solutions to every problem, of course. But it's just something that we need to keep in mind, that we also need to think about the existing environment that we already have in place.
Absolutely. And I think that comes back to the second episode that we did around considerations, because that's exactly the point at where you start to look at, okay, I need to understand what currently happens and what I want to happen in terms of connectivity and interfacing with this PMS that I'm now going to go and purchase. And so part of that considerations is about looking at, okay, what is going to integrate with it, and where is that interconnectivity? Is this change in a PMS going to prompt a change in other areas of my business? Because that all rolls into that whole cost consideration.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we have systems in place that are interfacing today already, like a wake-up call system, for example, or if you're still having pay TV at your property for whatever reason, maybe that is interfacing as well. So if you switch your PMS, will that be compatible or not? But then you have systems which today may not interface yet with your PMS, like your accounting system, which means that after the night audit, the next morning, your accountant types in all the business results in the accounting system, which is really not making a lot of sense in 2019, where we could simply interface the two systems and all transactions are automatically processed in the accounting system after the night audit. It's also something that we need to think about. Well, what systems do we even have in place, and how could they interact with the PMS? And well, where can we take advantage of that? Because of course, that's huge time savings and huge cost savings potentially there.
And a key part we haven't touched on is about the reservations as well, and the CRS, and whether you've got a call center and then your GDS, and there's a whole element there that is absolutely critical.
Oh yeah, for sure. The evolution has been going on for a while, of course. But now the CRS is such an important component. There are even voices out there that say the CRS is the new PMS, because a lot of the functionality that we see in all the PMSs are now carried over and taken care of, and even better taken care of by central reservation systems, mm-hmm. Things like rate management and analytics even. CRSs oftentimes do a better job at that. So we need to look at, again, how do these systems play with each other, and how does the interfacing process work there? And, if we already have a system, a PMS in place that is having a beautiful two-way interface to their CRS today, it means that all reservations are hosted in the PMS and the CRS at the same time. So if we now migrate to a new PMS, very possibly, very likely, we can just download all the reservations that are already in the system from the CRS to the PMS. We don't have to type in every single one of the reservations again. Mm-hmm. So if we take that into consideration as well, there may be hundreds of hours of labor, especially for larger properties, that could be saved when we don't have to enter every single reservation that we have in the old system, also in the new system. That takes a lot of headaches away during the migration process, with risk of potential overbooking and things like that. So we really need to take careful consideration of that as well. But yeah, it's a huge opportunity.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, is there anything else? We've been talking now for just over an hour. Is there anything more on the connectivity piece that we need to touch on?
I think we have touched quite a lot of the topic today, and of course you can always keep going. And there are a lot of details that we have not touched about. But, you know, I think for a broad overview of the connectivity topic, we have touched base on a lot of very important things.
Okay. But I think probably we'll wrap up this one where we've looked at the cloud and on-site hosting. We've looked at the mobile first philosophy, and then we've looked at the connectivity piece. We've touched a little bit on the support that you get from the vendor when we were talking about the security, but we're going to talk more about that in our next episode, where we're actually going to look at the, you know, what are the things you need to consider when you're evaluating a PMS provider, where we'll be looking a little bit more at the cost. We'll be looking at some of the areas to consider around the contracts. And obviously the support is going to be a key factor. So I think we'll wrap up this episode 3. There's a lot that hopefully has been very informative. Obviously people listening to this will know how to reach out and get in contact with us at Revenue Hub. But if people want to get in contact with you, Christoph, can you give us a few kind of basic details about you, website, how they can reach you, just so that if this has prompted them to say, yeah, I need to be talking to this guy, he can help me out, how do they reach you?
Yeah, you can always come to christophhutter.com. You find all my contact information on there. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to chat, always happy to help wherever I can.
Jolly good. So that's Christoph, so Christoph HUTTER.com.
That's exactly it. Or you can just Google me or look me up on Bing, and I'll come up probably as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll come up, and they can reach you. Well, look, thanks again for your time today. It's been great to talk to you, and I look forward to catching up with you in the next episode, where we'll actually start to look at the vendors themselves. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.